I don't know if I should be here preaching to such a knowledgeable audience. I'm a very simple person, but I'm really glad to be here. Greenville, I spent a year and 8 months here, pleasant 2 years, and it made a huge difference in my life. As a matter of fact, it was a turning point. And so my wife told me, as I spoke at Woodruff Road Presbyterian Church, that I had been speaking to Israel, and I told her, I don't know if I should dare speak faster. So, but I'd like, I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Malachi, chapter 3. We're going to read from verses 16 through 18. Malachi chapter 3. Take heed to the word of God. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. You may be seated. Malachi and his contemporaries were living in an uneventful waiting period when God seemed to have forgotten his people, enduring poverty and foreign domination in the little province of Judah. The following are some of the problems that Malachi addressed. There were, for instance, an unwillingness to part with the temple funds, chapter 3, verse 8. Advantage was being taken of the poor and oppressed, chapter 3, verse 5. Intermarriage with non-Jewish families was threatening the survival of the covenant family, chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. The round religious duties continued to be carried out, but without enthusiasm. Worship had degenerated into a mere routine. With all these things, some questions were raised. For instance, where was the God of their fathers? Generations were dying without receiving the promise, and many were losing faith and questioning if the Lord God was worthy of serving. We read in chapter 3, verse 14, you have said, it's useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So, to question or doubt about the blessings of serving God is a temptation at all times. So, we will consider briefly this morning three main points. The first one is, God's servants have communion one to another. This is one of the blessings that flow from serving God. People question whether or not it is worthy serving God. God's servants have communion one to another. And that's a real blessing. In verse, it says in verse 16, it says in the first part of it, then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. Then we have here a connective. One commentator says, when atheism and bold contempt of God was grown so high and was so plainly and smartly reproved by the prophet, that's when those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. In this verse, the prophet tells us that his doctrine had not been without fruit, for the faithful had been stimulated, so that they animated, they encouraged one another, and thus restored each other to a right course. Although it is not plainly stated here in the text what they spoke, from the context we can ascertain that they spoke of God's mercy, of God's justice, of God's patience, of God's wisdom in his governments and manage of the sons of men. They encouraged each other to wait for God in the way of his judgments. There is a contrast here between what the ones that didn't fear the Lord spoke and the ones who feared the Lord. So, this communion expresses itself in a encouraging each other to be to a renewed faith. They spoke, dear brothers, of what their hearts were full of, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The ungodly, in their turn, spoke the contrary. Now, I would like to elaborate a little bit more on the communion that God's people experience. This communion results, firstly, from the acknowledgement that God is our common Lord, but also it results from the obedience to God. And you must remember what 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22 says, "Has the Lord a great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams." But also we see here that there was a desire to be convincing before the people. That's another result from communion. And do you remember what our Lord Jesus said in John 13, verse 35? By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. We read in verse 16a that those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. And from the context, we can infer that the content of their speaking. Now, let me ask you this, if I may. What about you? What do you speak of God? Is your heart full of the word of God? Do you encourage your fellow believers? If this is not the case, I urge you to ask the gracious God to search your heart and guide you in the path of righteousness. Secondly, another blessing that flows from serving God. God's servants are not forgotten. Take a look at the second part of verse 16. It says here, "And the Lord listened and heard them." So, a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. The book of remembrance mentioned here in verse 16b is a figurative description added to complete the idea of judgments. Some years ago, I had the opportunity to visit Washington, D.C. There, I visited some memorials, such as Lincoln's Memorial, Jefferson's Memorial, and Roosevelt's Memorial. And those memorials remind us of the greatness and deeds of those great men. The Book of Remembrance mentioned here, however, does not register or contain acts of justice or merits of anyone. It does contain the names of those who fear the Lord and call upon his name, those whom by God's own grace have joined God's people. So we have here that a registry was made of the persons and of their discourses. And the point here is that God does not forget those who serve him, because God cannot deny himself, because he is faithful to his covenant. One commentator said it means that a registry was made of the persons and of their discourses. And now, here we must remember something that Jay Pekka said: good deeds are good works and good words. We have to build up one another with words as well. So, dear brothers, this is a great encouragement to be faithful, that they might be convinced that their reward would be certain as soon as they devoted themselves to God, for the Lord God would not be blind to their piety. But it must be noticed as well that this is an expression after the manner of men, because the Almighty God, the Almighty and Omniscient God, does not need to be reminded of things by books or by writings. A book of remembrance was written so that in due time, God would again undertake to defend and cherish his church. And what a great comfort. And it speaks a lot to jaded preachers. Sometimes it can be, if you have been preaching for so long, and most of you are gonna answer the ministry, it's going to be always a temptation to be tired, to be kind of used to that. It's a mere routine. So what? We have been done a lot of things. We must remember that God is faithful, and that what we do in obedience to him will never be overlooked. It is not going to be in vain that we serve God, because for facts would at a length prove that their obedience had not been forgotten or overlooked. You remember 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, for instance. But God knows what is done by everyone, and he will in his own time perform what he has decreed. And another thing is that God has his reason and opportunity in order that there may be no presumption in us to prescribe to him the time when he is to do this or that. The Lord wants us to rest on him, whatever the circumstances may be. And here we find a great reason, a great encouragement for constancy, for stability, for fortitude. This is a great encouragement for jaded preachers as well. If you have been inconstant, take hold of this great truth. Remember that you are not serving God in vain. Remember also that the sufferings we might have in this life are not to be compared with the joy and happiness that we are to have in heaven. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. A third blessing that flows from serving God is that God's servants are his special property. Take a look at verse 17. It says, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On the day that I make them my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. The expression here, shall be mine, in Hebrew, is emphatic, the commentators say, giving the idea that those who serve God belong exclusively to the Lord and to no one else. Another commentator said, though now they seem to be to lie unregarded, as if they were not worth the owning, they shall appear to be mine. And that's for two reasons. God has no match so to speak. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." But the other reason for that is that to serve God means a total giving of one's self. You cannot serve God and serve yourself. The believer has a high privilege that is to be God's own possession. And once again, verse 17 says, "They shall be mine," in the expression, "my jewels." Furthering this verse endorses the point. It could have referred to either the day when God cut off the Jewish church and nation for their infidelity, and the remnants among them that believed his word was admitted into the Christian church, or to the day of Jerusalem's destruction by Titus Vespasianus, when Christ took care of his jewels. However, according to some commentators, verse 17 is referring mainly to the day of judgment, when it will have its full accomplishments at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The righteous will then be a possession for the Lord, because on that day, the glory of the children of God will be first revealed, and the Israel of God will reach the mark of its heavenly calling. The Lord will spare them in the judgment as a father spares his son who serves him. How is your condition this morning? Do you belong to God? Are you postponing a commitment to God? Finally, another blessing that flow or derive from serving God is that God's servants will be treated different than the wicked on the day of judgment. Verse 18 says, "Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." The day of judgment will be the day of God's wrath, the day in which the just judgment of God will be revealed fully. In that day, the grace and the justice of God will shine in their maximum, because God is gracious on one hand, and he is just on the other hand. The justice of God is manifested especially in giving to every person what they deserve and in treating them according to their deeds. Now, I call your attention to the fact that although we are not saved by the law of God, we will be judged by the law. In other words, the law of God will be the perimeter, so to speak, of the great judgment to come. And here the prophet tells the murmurers that they will see the difference between the righteous who serve God and the wicked who do not serve God. And the wicked who do not serve the Lord will learn that it is always profitable to serve the Lord. Contrary to what some people are questioning, is it worthy serving God? Now, I want you to see the parallelism in verse 18. The righteous is the one who serves God, and the wicked is the one who does not serve God. The term again here indicates that the difference between those who feared God and the ungodly was already seen before, and that the Lord had already made it manifest by former judgments. Those for whom it was in vain to serve God, they will see, finally, their terrible and dreadful error. As I have said previously, in other words, although it primarily respects the difference that was made by God's providence between the believing Jews and those that persisted in their infidelity, at the time of the destruction of Jerusalem and of the Jewish church and nation by the Romans, this is to have its full accomplishments at the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, are you prepared for that day? Have you put your confidence in God or have you not? Do you take this teaching about the Day of Judgment seriously? Or do you think this is just the result of a creative mind in that in the final analysis, not only the righteous but also the wicked will be saved? Unfortunately, I have seen a lot of people who think just that way in my country. But in concluding, the first thing in a good and upright life is to serve God. Malachi shows us that the way back to a genuine, enduring faith in the God who does not change, who invites men to return, and who never forgets those who respond. Malachi shows us the blessings that derive from serving God, the blessing of communion. So many times we need people to talk with, to fellowship with, to pray for us. What a blessing to belong to the Church of Christ. The other blessing, the one of not being forgotten in the midst of difficulties. The blessing of being God's own possession. And last but not least, the blessing of standing in the Day of Judgment with full assurance about God's favor towards us, towards the ones who fear the Lord. That should make us more steadfast in our service, in our eagerness to reach out for other people, in our desire to glorify the Lord and enjoy Him forever. That God might help us serve Him faithfully and never question whether or not He is worthy serving Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You more than our words can express. We are so gracious. You are so faithful to Your covenant. You have made us such great promises on which we want to stand every day as we await for the coming of our precious and Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. We ask You that You continue blessing this seminary, its professors, its students, that they might be lights in the hills, and that Your glory may be spread all over the world, that every knee might bow down to Jesus Christ, that every tongue might confess that Jesus is the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.